Up though, it is Saturday morning. That means it is time for Sports Saturday right here, 105.1 The Fan. I am Rashad Taylor. Joe Fisher told you last week he would be out, so that means it is a two-man show for the most part. I got my guy Jordan Schultz. What's happening, bro?
What's going on? Happy Saturday. I can breathe.
Oh yeah, man.
Thank the Lord.
Yeah,
I can
man.
Breathe.
All the smoke is gone. Did you see the building burning on a?
Oh, yeah, that abandoned warehouse over
so
in the
So just
Pearl.
Over here, just next to us.
Yeah,
actually,
not far.
Not too far from us, man. So I'm sure it was a smoky day. I actually crossed the Fremont and just saw it burning. I was like, no freaking way, man.
On top of, like, I don't know, what was the air quality? Around, like, 150 plus for the last 3 days. That obviously didn't help this week. My wife has asthma, so that kind of sucked, too.
Yeah,
like,
I'm
just
sure
as
that
far
wasn't
as her trying to breathe, it was even worse than me and trying to keep up on all the filters in the house. It was rough this week.
You know,
man.
It feels like this is becoming more and more common. I feel like every year for the past few years, and I could be wrong. My memory isn't what it used to be. But I feel like this happens all the time.
Well,
like for the last few years, I feel like we've had a wildfire that's close enough to kind of waft its way this way. And yeah, it kind of screws everything up, because while it's super hot outside, it just looks like death for the most part.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's felt like that out there too. And I've had an unfortunate like incident I was just kind of telling you about. So I finally got a new car.
I've been
waiting to do that for a minute.
Oh,
so
it's a sweet whip.
I had to get something. I figured I'm gonna have this for the next few years, so I might as well try to
get
something.
And can I just say, whatever car, whether it be like you know, a Land Rover or like a Volvo, or you know, you got, what did you get?
A Jeep Cherokee. Grand Cherokee.
I love Jeep Grand Cherokees. My dad owned a couple, now owns another, like, I don't know. He finally upgraded it. Just Grand Cherokees have been in my family forever. But anytime you get like the black edition where it's the black rims, the logo.
When they came with the black alloys, I was like, so initially
Ooh.
I went to go look for another car.
Yeah.
Like the one I was going to find, it was also a Grand Cherokee. And I got there and I was like, I don't like this one as much. It's cool, but, you know, it just felt like it didn't feel like me. And then I just kind of looked over and was like, hey, what's that? Tell me about this one over here. So yeah, man, finally glad to be out. But it felt terrible. So finally get this new car, go grocery shopping, and there is a hole in the milk. Had no idea. And the milk got all over the mat in the backseat, but then a little bit on the carpet. And I think what happened is, as I cleaned it, and I thought I did a pretty good job, I forgot that some of it kind of dripped down to where my spare is on the hottest day of the summer.
Soaked into those fibers.
Oh, my gosh. Like, I have to take it to get detailed after I leave here, because that smell is, like, ungodly.
Oh, yeah, the milk once it gets into the seat.
Hottest day of the summer, you know, for the most part. Like, yeah, that wasn't cool. So that's kind of one of those things I got to deal with. Hey, you know, at least no more Uber. Shout out to all the Uber drivers that dropped me off here. A couple of them were fans of the station, fans of the show.
Oh, yeah.
So that was always super, you know, super cool. But, yeah, I had to get mobile. That wasn't working.
Well, I mean, gosh, it sounds like you went from one problem to another, like breathing in milk,
like,
breathing in smoke.
It
now.
Hasn't even been a week.
God.
Hasn't even been a week since I've had the car, and then that happened. So that's kind of irritating, man. So
been there, bro.
It's all good though. It's all good. There are worse things that can happen. So
as far as the fire goes, though, brother, I think, man, this week, like, I don't know how affected you get by like the bad air out there, but like this week was kind of reminiscent a little bit more of COVID. Not as bad, because remember during COVID that summer, you literally had like the smoke in your house, like you could see in the air, and it was just really no getting out of it. And then a couple years before that, so this is like the third time I feel like in a decade here in the Portland metro where we've had to deal with that. So God, last time I was singing like God Bless America for a baseball game and my voice cracked because the smoke was so bad. So that's just, you can't breathe out there.
No, it makes going to sporting events really tough, especially if you got to be outside. You should probably know this about me, Jordan Schultz. I'm in the house, bro.
Yeah,
I'm one of those people, and call me
like, screw this,
call me cheap, call me, you know, a hermit, whatever you want to say, it's all good. pay a lot to live, you know, in North Portland, like, you know, yeah. right between North, like near Mississippi.
Portland Avenue. Is not a cheap place to
it's
live.
It's not. Yeah. And especially near like Mississippi Avenue or near Williams or anything like
that's
that.
That's a hot spot.
It's definitely, you know, not cheap. So I have air conditioning. I have every app that we can think of that we need for sports and entertainment. I'm not tripping on going outside. I can stay inside and be fine.
Yeah.
Like, so that was going to be how I spent most of the summer anyway. I might get out every now and then, but for the most part, like,
that's awesome.
I get in trouble a lot for that, like, just not wanting to go.
Why don't you go out and play? Why don't you go out and do something?
No, it's one of those things. You know what? You want to know what I was doing? I'll share this with you, and I'll share this with, you know, with all of our listeners.
Trust tree, okay.
Everything like that. Like, I, you know, ever since I, you know, had the cancer and all that stuff that, like, when I go out a lot of times, I'm often, like, you know, people, and I appreciate everybody's, you know, all the well wishes and everything. I know
for
a lot
sure.
of people came through for me when I was, you know, really down. But it's like sometimes I kind of forget it happens, you know, until I see this huge scar that I have, like, across my stomach. Sometimes I forget, like, I've gotten so used to the lifestyle I live now that I, you know, it's go about my day. But when
Which
I go
is
to,
hopefully a good place.
But when I go out to, like, big functions and stuff like that, I feel like I have the same conversation with a lot of people all the time, which is all, like, good and it's well wishes and all the stuff like that and everything. But it's like, man, that's like the 15th time, literally, I've had to, you know,
talk about
like, what happened and, you know, how is everything. It's like, sometimes you just kind of want to forget. But, you know, so a lot of times since then, I've just been a little more kind of hesitant to kind of go out. I'll get over it. I know I will, because I know it's all out of love anyway, and I get a lot of love here because born here and know a bunch of people.
I mean, at some point, though, I think it's okay for you to want to have that release from the... It's a terrible time. It's a terrible thing. It is. Hey, would you rather be here talking about it? Of course,
absolutely.
That's not what you're saying at all.
100%. So. Yeah, so... But yeah, it's one of those things. So I've been finding myself inside a lot more, but now, because of all the weather, the hot weather and the smoke, I'm like, being inside ain't so bad.
I don't know about you, man, but if air conditioning didn't exist, I don't think that I would be able to live. Like, I'd be considering offing myself just if the heat
were tough.
As invasive as it used to be every day before the late 1800s, early 1900s when they got AC, and then in like the 30s and 40s when we started to get AC in houses or something like that. It was just not a fun place to live.
Yeah, I'm just thinking anything before, like, the 1960s or anything like that, like, well, not for me, in the 60s. anything before, you know, the 70s is, you know, the way they were living. I was talking to my mom, and I guess it's kind of the way kids look at us now and say, man, you guys didn't have, like, the internet at all. Or phones at all. Like,
we at least had colorful
around.
Video games.
Like, you know, so yeah, we had stuff, but, you know.
We had the internet. It was just.
But
it was just
really
stupid.
Whoever invented the air conditioner, shout out to you, because you are the lifesaver that Portland definitely needed, and everywhere else, because it's been sweltering outside.
Oh, you couldn't exist in Phoenix or like Vegas. Like, Vegas would not be what it is without air conditioning.
Oh, I can attest to that 100%. Uh-huh. Like, Vegas, and the water is terrible. Everybody in Oregon should, or at least in Portland, should really be grateful for the fact that we can really drink out of the tap here.
And it doesn't taste like ass.
No, there are some places, like, people said New York water is great. I said, is it?
No. I've lived in Boston. East Coast water is not good.
Hey, man, like, to turn
no
on the
way.
Tap water and just be able to go at it, maybe some ice, like, that's clutch here. And that's something we often take for granted. Go stay in a Vegas hotel for a night.
I'm pretty sure, like, I don't quote me on this totally, but maybe do. We have some of the best water in the world. It's got to be, like, top 10. Like, we're thankfully, we don't have any issues, you know, like a Flint, Michigan. Or it's nice being near the coast, because we kind of, and we're not the old school like New York or Boston, where you're dealing with pipes that are 300 years old. Like, our infrastructure, thankfully, is a little newer. So I think we got the benefit in that deal for sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, look at that, man. We got a hot car talk and water talk and some other stuff in. That's a lot for 10 minutes.
We on a Saturday, it all in, baby.
On a Saturday, but we do got sports for you. You know, we do got a bunch of sports. Let's see. There's a bunch of stuff happening in the NBA with the Blazers. I don't really want to talk a lot about that today. I feel like that's all we've been talking about for the last 3-4 weeks. You know, there was a point to where we weren't talking about Dundon at all. And then it felt like we picked it up and we start talking about it all the time. So today I just kind of want to talk a little bit more about the team, but we'll obviously have to talk about where the Blazers are and the negotiations with the city,
yeah.
You know, so we'll have to discuss that a little bit. But I do want to talk a lot about this Blazers team and what we see for the future. Everything is kind of solidified. You see relationships are being built. We see certain players are taking certain measures to make sure they adapt to their teammates and everything like that and make people feel comfortable. But what do we think is going to happen this season? We'll talk about that. And also, Joe's not here. Won't be here next week. Actually, Jordan will also not be here next week.
So
somebody's going to be in for him, you know, pinch hitting for him. But so since we're not going to do division previews this week, I think we were going to do the East, but Joe's not here, so he can't talk about how bad his Cowboys are going to be. I might have a different, you know, kind of point of view, but we will talk about who are the best and worst rosters this year in the NFL. That and much more. Jordan, this should be a lot of fun, bro.
Oh, yeah. Well, aren't you?
I always enjoy shows where it's, you know, you and I. Oh.
Yeah, I was like, aren't you planning on having a special guest in,
too? I was
like,
going to say, man.
Big show.
I'm going to have
a
special guest and good friend, my guy Jason Venner, who is the cruise director for, or was the cruise director for Holland America, but now kind of wears JBV Entertainment. So he is also an Iron Man. He actually finished an Ironman competition earlier last month. So I want to talk to him about that and what it was like training for that. I saw him change his whole mindset and diet and everything for maybe a little over a year and a half just to kind of get ready for this Ironman. So I want to kind of ask him about that process. He is also a Cleveland Warrior and a quarterback who ended up going to Linfield and having a great college career there, man. So he knows a little bit about sports, man. Looks like, he's got a quarterback face, but he's got a Hemsworth body, man, which I got to get in the gym with him and see what he's doing. So we're going to do that and so much more. That's coming up here on Sports Saturday, right here on The Fan. So it feels like we're getting closer in this whole Blazer negotiation. Not super close, but steps forward are good, right? I mean, it's been lots of steps backwards by both parties, mostly just the Blazers organization over the last little bit. But it seems like things are moving forward as the Multnomah County Board of Commissioners voted Thursday to approve a term sheet resolution contributing $101 million to the proposed renovation of the Moda Center, the home of our Portland Trailblazers.
Boom, boom. Big money coming in. Obviously, one of three different entities that are going to be, you know, making this whole amount happen, the city, the state, and the county, and we now have the county that has stepped up and done that. That's like literally the first bit, I think, Rashad, of good news through this, I want to say, months-long process now of negotiations. And I think at this point, you and I can say, what are we now, 4 days before the upcoming vote in city council next week to try to get this resolution through to pass the funding here for the city of Portland? I think that's the Portland Trailblazers that have a little egg on their face at this point. And as a diehard Blazers fan and somebody that, you know, has kind of wanted to poo-poo on some of the city council members and the questions that they've asked along this process, Rashad, I don't know, man. I'm wondering if the good faith negotiations that the Blazers have been having are not actually good faith.
I think considering everything and how it's kind of playing out, it's hard to disagree with you. Yeah. You know, we feel like, you know, the term moving the goalpost has been used a lot.
Yes.
You know, as we talk about these negotiations and where we are and why, I guess, both parties aren't much closer to getting a deal done at this point. It doesn't seem like it should be that hard. And the cool part is I can see both sides as far as the negotiations.
I agree.
I can see. And that's why it's hard for me to completely poo-poo Dundon for kind of how he's moving. Now, the whole thing about the taxes, you know, or the tax laws here in Portland, that's, hey, man, like, you bought a team in that city and you didn't kind of look at what the taxes might look like for you. Like, that wasn't something that you, but I think Dundon, and we both read this great article in The Ringer, has been doing a great job of showing how to be like an antagonizer, you know. So we don't really know who this guy is. We know he's a cheapskate. We know that much. That's kind of all we know. We know he doesn't really give a damn about Portland. We can just go ahead and say that. Like, I mean, maybe we'll all have egg on our face and he just, you know, he goes about and turns this franchise into the winner that we've all been hoping they would be. You know, maybe all these moves, and we see what just happened with the Hurricanes, right? You know, they kind of had a lot of these things happening. They were struggling talking about negotiations for renovation. They were going through a new head coach. They were trying to refine their roster and become more competitive. Ultimately, that worked out for them, right? And so it's hard to see a guy who doesn't look at that and say, man, I can do this. We can do this again. You know, just rinse, repeat. It's the same thing in a different sport, but he believes it can happen. He's trying the money ball effect, right? And we'll see if it works. But at this point, like, I think fans are just really concerned that they're going to lose their beloved team. And they should be, because I'm still not 100% convinced. I think this is better. Mm-hmm. This is great that they took steps forward, but I'm not convinced that Dundon still doesn't have his eyes somewhere else.
Well, I think the leaked emails this week, which was essentially, if you're not caught up on what's been happening, I'll try to sum it up. Basically, the Portland Trailblazers, in a public data request, had released a bunch of their, you know, I think conversations, or the city of Portland had conversations with the Portland Trailblazers. In those, there were some emails that the Blazers internally between themselves had not wanted the public to see, essentially disproving the main, I think, Tom Dundon and Dwayne Hankins, president for the Trailblazers, they've been hankering on that first class facility statement that was made. I think it was by Steve Nobik, city commissioner, talking about, you know, the Moda Center not being up to that level. And I would agree that I think that might be a departure from the original bridge agreement. Like, I don't want to get too deep into it, but like, the city and then the team had already, before Tom Dundon, you know, had bought the Blazers, decided what was kind of being led up to this to be done, and the terminology had been agreed upon. So I think, do I agree that it's not a first-class facility? Yes. Do I think the Blazers should be caring so much about that? No. But the point in these emails, one huge one, was that they have been saying, we don't really want to negotiate in public because we're scared of the threat of litigation down the road. And one reason that we think that that's actually going to happen is because of this whole first-class facility statement. Well, these emails proved that, I think, that hadn't even happened yet. It was 10 days after that statement had ended up being made, before the Blazers had stopped negotiating or stopped responding. So they can use that as an excuse, essentially, according to these emails. But no, that hadn't even happened yet. It was a week and a half later, after they kind of weren't responding, that stuff started. So it's a lot of cloak and dagger here, Rashad. This is negotiations. It's dirty. And I understand, you know, you kind of say, oh, I see both sides here. I do too. I get why, you know, this is happening. Obviously, both sides want the best for, you know, the city and then the Portland Trailblazers. But what the Blazers are asking for here, Rashad, it's not just, you know, near $600 million. It adds up over the course of this deal. We're talking a 20-year commitment that the city wants the Blazers to make, because that's essentially going to be what the health of the Moda Center is. I think you got another 20 years out of Moda.
Yeah,
right?
If you're putting, you know, $600 million in the building, we're assuming that you plan to be around for a long time.
Exactly, but it's not just $600 million. It's actually, with all the bonds and all the extra money coming, there's going to be closer to $1 billion, or a little more than $1 billion, that the city, state, and county have to commit, you know, over the life of this deal to the Portland Trailblazers, which actually, if you look, Rashad, that number would be the biggest commitment in the NBA by any public entity, by any city. So the Blazers are asking for an unprecedented deal here from Portland. So, and I've been supportive of the city giving money, but it does have to make sense for both sides.
And it does. And I'm going to ask this question as a taxpayer here.
Okay.
What do we get out of all this?
Yeah.
That's all good and dandy. You know, everything, that's great. Yeah. It's going to be a brand new Moda Center with new stuff inside and all that. What does that mean for us? Are there cooler restaurants around?
Yeah.
Is there somewhere for your family to go and watch the game? Are you going to have watch parties outside or near your facility, this state-of-the-art facility? Like, how does this enhance everybody else that's paying for this? People that don't get a chance to go to a lot of Blazer games throughout the year. Like, what do we get out of this? And I understand that, you know, and that's why this whole back and forth, like, at the end of the day, like, we could lose the team that, you know, a lot of us here love and have grown up with and everything for new screens. I don't know, new screens in the Motor Center. We want the Steve Ballmer. Like, they did all these renovations in LA built a whole new arena for the Clippers. How well did they do this year?
I mean, that was on Steve Ballmer's dime, though. See, that's one of the exceptions to the rule. Yeah, he's like the Paul Allen of today.
That's fine. Like, I don't know what teams, and you probably know more than me, Jordan.
It's like the Warriors or privately funded, and the Clippers. There may be one more.
Yeah, so what teams that have had major renovations this year were just, oh, they got new arenas and that changed everything for them?
I mean, that's not really – I hear what you're saying. It's just that there's a disconnect between – where the Moda Center is and where the current status of a legitimate NBA arena is. It's just not there. Like, there's so much lacking, not just for the fans, but for the players as well. Have you been in those locker rooms, brother? Like, literally, the visitors' locker room is a high school locker room. It's benches and old crappy.
That's
like
how it's supposed to be.
No. Not in the NBA. Not in the MLB.
You're supposed to be comfortable.
Not in the NFL.
Should be a piece of S in there.
That's not
a literal one, but
they don't get to travel in 5-star hotels and then come into a high school locker room. That's just not acceptable. Hey, man, and the Blazers locker room is no bigger than that studio that you're sitting in right now. It's also tiny. So
it's not this. It's a little bigger than this.
The walking area in between all the seats, pretty tiny.
Yeah, the walking area is pretty small. I mean,
where you're trying to sit and do interviews, where like you're in the middle, where literally that's the only place the media can go. Yeah.
Oh, I think it might be a little bigger than this. But either way, I mean, I just want to know, are there going to be like additional entertainment venues that are going to be around the Moda Center? Is it going to be more than just Jax? And is Jax going to stay open?
No kidding.
When the season is over? Is this just going to be a seasonal kind of thing that's happening like they've been doing? Or can this be a space that, you know, people can come and enjoy with their families when the Blazers aren't here? If there is a concert, like what else is happening outside of just this huge renovation that's kind of holding up potentially our team, you know, really re-signing with Portland and staying here for a long time? I'm just kind of confused on it sometime, just as far as, I mean, as a taxpayer, like what are we talking about? Like, what's gonna happen? What's gonna change? Especially with the loss of the Lloyd Center, like how can you be? Yeah, and today's the last day of the Lloyd Center. RIP to the Lloyd. Like, what are we doing? So we keep hearing about these plans, but we haven't really heard anything that they plan to do.
They've basically submitted, and I have heard City Council ask about this in some of their meetings, basically renderings, and we've seen those public renderings, and you mentioned like a big screen. That's kind of all outside of maybe a couple of different, you know, concourse areas that show a wider berth and some more concessions, which is a couple of the problems that do need addressed inside of Moda. Outside, they do show more areas of like things going on, Rashad, restaurants, bars out there, but outside of like this big screen, that's not really anything new on the motor right now. And those renderings are all that shows. So we're wondering what we're going to get with that money as taxpayers, as the city of Portland. I think you make a great point that beyond the renovation, obviously, and this is something that Dwayne Hankins has been saying. It's like, we want to negotiate behind closed doors. We don't want to negotiate in a public forum, which I do. People may get mad at me for this. I understand why they don't want to negotiate in a public forum. This stuff is getting ugly.
It's getting
and
nasty.
We are the
NBA for all the wrong reasons right now.
Yeah.
Like, for a couple weeks, it was all about, look at all these moves the Blazers have made and look like they're getting better and you're getting Dame back. And now you add Jaws. Like, oh, there was some excitement there. And that all went away real quick with these negotiations kind of going a little south after the whole Ja trade. So
I mean, essentially, you've been to Fenway Park, Rashad. You need bars and restaurants outside of Fenway. You need, just like Staples Center, where you walk in and there's different options to eat. There's different bars around the corner there. Like, there's literally, I can think of Staples Center, and I'm not even from LA, and I just remember from my hotel seeing 5 or 6 different restaurants on the same block as the entrance to Staples Center. It's not even a comparison for other cities is what Portland is. And the lack of availability for anything to do. We've got the 3-on-3 tournament that the Portland Trailblazers put on, the Rip City 3-on-3. Every summer, you're kind of forced into just parking near the Moda and walking down, you know, to Broadway or wherever else to go to eat, to do these things instead of hanging out. If you had a concert and then bars open until 2 a.m. there, you could turn that place into a bustling part of the city, Rashad, as maybe look at what Cleveland did when they redid their arena in downtown Cleveland. All the stuff to do right around that arena, even in a crappy winter town, they knew that they have to give entertainment other than basketball to their fans. And my wife and I would have had it a lot easier. My dad and I would have had it a lot easier coming into Portland all these years from Wilsonville, from Salem, and hanging out if we had stuff to do. And that's a big one, too. So I understand why you want that. It's just, I feel like that's kind of one piece of the negotiations. It's just kind of being thrown about with everything else right now. And unfortunately, the hangup is just the money. We're just talking about amounts of money, and people are getting nervous either way about it.
Oh, well, these continue. So there's going to be more news over the next couple of days. I believe there's a vote on the 12th. Is it? Yes. So we're going to know more here in a couple days. So fingers crossed that things continue to get better and we can actually start talking basketball just like we're about to do. Let's talk about our Trailblazers, man. Ja Morant is here. He seems like he's happy. He's saying all the right things. Dame's saying all the right things. Everybody's happy. But is everybody really happy? So we'll talk about that next. First, Jordan has a Sports Center update. Curious of how our players feel about everything that's happened so far. Everybody's been, and they've been told to kind of, yeah, man, just work out, worry about basketball, don't worry about this part. But I'm curious, and I think we've all been curious, man, how our players, this roster, feels about all these, the negativity that's been kind of cast on your franchise, on your owner, everything. Like, I'm curious what their relationship has been like, you know, and if it can just be basketball. Like, you never want to say that players are distracted or anything like that. But this is the type of thing that would be like a little distracting. Are we about to move? Like, if you sign a long-term deal or something like that, if you do have some money coming to you, like, is this really where I want to be? You know, and if you're Dundon and you do indeed move this team or something like that, are people really going to want to play for you or work for you or anything like that? Like, you're kind of showing who you are to a lot of folks. And I'm curious how much of our roster actually messes with them. But,
you know, I wonder too, but like at this point, haven't they been around for maybe not negotiations between like a city and a team, but they've been around negotiations all their lives, right? It's a lot of posturing, and that's literally what their agents do for them. It's why you hire an agent as a player, you know, and even like, you know, entertainers, radio hosts, like some of them have agents now. Like, it's just, you don't want to ruin that relationship between, you know, you and the team, because there are conversations that must be had that can get contentious in that kind of situation. And I think because of that, they're familiar with it. They know it's not totally easy for them to put their head down, but they know that that's kind of what they have to do, because what else can they do?
Absolutely
spending
nothing.
Time worrying about
There's
it.
There's nothing you can do right now. You just have to go out there, go hoop. That's it.
They got great lives, man. Hey, you're feeling nervous? Go ride a yacht for 2 weeks.
We are
right?
much more nervous than
exactly.
these players are. Like,
yeah.
I think they'll be fine. You know, their lives will move on. They will, you know, it'll be roses and peaches the next day.
I don't know who Dame is like buddy-buddy with on the team. Like, but
I'm
like,
seeing a lot of him and Denny working out. I don't know if that's like legit or if that's just maybe a couple shots from the same day.
But like, you don't think if Shea's feeling nervous one night, you know, he's not texting Dame, they're not going out to dinner, you know, hey, man, let's just go clear our heads for a couple of days, like, or let's go work out, let's go do that. Like, I guarantee you their camaraderie's okay, and Dame coming back also. Once again, yeah, Denny was sort of maybe a quasi-leader in the locker room, but now Damian Lillard is, you know, the franchise, the leader. Everybody has somebody guaranteed to look to right now during this time, too, and I think that helps.
Yeah, I get it. Denny, this is Denny's team. Like, we have to We're not going to do that. Like, I understand.
On the court stuff, yes, but off the court, Dame. It's Dame. Dame is like the captain,
right? Off the court, yes. Yeah, Dame is
captain. Yeah. That's kind of what I'm saying.
You know, that's who he is. That's his role at this point. I believe Damian Lillard still has a lot of good basketball in him. Like, so he's going to be that shooter that Portland was kind of missing. You know, I do believe he has to be somebody that you start. And I think the biggest question for me, for a lot of us, is what is the starting lineup going to look like? Because I think that's going to tell us a lot about this team. I'm not one of those people that feels like Ja Morant needs to start. Drew Holiday is a great point guard. He can play defense, and I think that's the key part. If you put Ja and Dame at your 1 and 2 in there, your guard combination is going to work every single night. They're going to get cooked. In the Western Conference, considering the people that they have to guard, nah. I'm sorry. You're not guarding Shea. You're not guarding the guards from San Antonio. You're not guarding Murray. You're not guarding Luka for sure because he's 6'8". Nothing you can do about that. You're not guarding LaMelo and Ant. Like, it's
no, but
it's
you got you got Temoni Kamara. For whoever is the best guy, whether it be, you know, Luka Doncic for the Lakers one night, Ant the next night on the T-Wolves, Temoni takes him.
Unless there's a two-headed monster like we're going to see in Minnesota, right? Unless you've got two guards that can cook you like you're going to see, you know, in San Antonio or like you're going to see in OKC. Like, that's just the Western Conference, and those are just the good teams.
Does it matter who starts at that point then, or does it matter then rotationally?
We haven't talked about Kyrie coming back yet. Like, I mean, we haven't talked about, like, some of those bottom-feeding teams in the Western Conference that have some – the Utah's coming. Utah, I think that it'll be a matter of years, 2, maybe 3 years before Utah is really in the mix, man. Yeah. So I just think if you start Drew Holiday, you give yourself some flexibility defensively. Your 3, 4, and 5 are good. You know, like Denny can guard, Temoni can guard, Klingon is fine, you know, defensively. I think you're good there. But I think just not having anybody, a defensive-minded guard or somebody with defensive capabilities in that starting lineup at the point guard or two guard position is going to hurt you.
Drew, obviously, what is he, like 2 or 3 inches taller than Ja Morant? So he adds a little bit more size, which I think adds to your argument that, yes, defensive presence is there with Drew. And I will say, when Drew Holiday shot the three well for the Blazers this last season, they always seemed to win. And I'm not saying that he was like shooting it every game. I feel like there were a lot of games where, you know, pick and choose your star. And then there were just some where they all would shoot like ass. And that was one of their biggest problems, is that they just couldn't hit the three on a night to night basis. It was infuriating at times to watch. But I think Drew coming out, he's not necessarily the guy that, oh man, this is going to sound like such a hot take as a Blazers fan.
Here we go.
I don't want to get lit up here. Drew coming out, he's not the guy I think you have to worry about in the starting lineup. I wonder if Ja and Dame might be swapped out at some point, just because Dame, who knows what he is at this point in his career, right? Do I want him to be the 30-point guy game? Of course. Do a Blazers fan, Damian Lillard, lover, like my for life, like you can't take that stamp off of me, okay? But I understand, especially as a high, like, impact point guard, those are the positions in the NBA that age the fastest. Look at what happened to Chris Paul. Like, look, if you are going into the hoop a lot, if you're doing what Dame does, you age quicker. It's just the point guards that do that don't have as long of illustrious careers. Like, can Dame, who's been one of the healthiest dudes up until his Achilles tear, as far as off the court, yes, he's had injuries for the Blazers, but, like, he takes care of himself is what I'm saying. He's tried to always show up and do what he needs to do. And frankly, some of those injuries, it wasn't him sitting because he was hurt. It was more so because the Blazers were just trying to tank, right? He could have played some of those games. So he's been relatively healthy. And up until that Achilles tear, and, you know, he might at 35, 36 have the ability to come out and be 80% of the player that he was before that injury. And we don't know, though.
I think that's all you're really asking for if you're a Blazers fan. Like, I mean, you want Dame to come out and, man, have that sweet jumper that he's always had. Like, you would like him to come out there and be, I don't want to say your second scorer. There's going to be some nights that Dame is going to go off for, you know, for a bunch of points. But I just think, considering coming off an Achilles, you know, kind of taking away some of that explosiveness, you hope that it's all back and he's feeling, you know, better at this point. If he's 100%, or even if he's 95%, like, Dame is going to be an all-star. Like, that's, you know, that's kind of the way that works. He is,
yeah,
he is an iconic player in the NBA at this point. You know, like, he's one of those ones. He's one of the best shooters of all time.
Yeah.
And if he can come back, and because he's one of the great shooters of all time, that means he can stick around for a bit. And as long as he can stay healthy, we'll see. But I like this Blazers roster. Yeah. I know a lot of people have kind of knocked on it because it's going to be a lot of small ball, but I think the opportunity to run in this Western Conference that doesn't have, outside of Wemby and Jokic, like, is anybody really afraid of Şengün as far as the bigs are concerned?
Donovan Clingan, not man, really, I think he just got, you know, the top blocking rating in the NBA 2K27,
yeah,
95-96.
Like, after the Western Conference Finals, does anybody fear Chet like that anymore?
Yeah, Chet didn't show up, did he?
I mean, so it's just kind of one of those things. So I'm not really concerned about the small ball at this point. I think you got a really talented roster. Your first and second unit are going to be starting units in any other team.
And Ja, I guess I was asking rotationally because I really, we all hope and think that Dame is going to come out and do all right. But, like, I think Ja starting will only happen if, for some reason, God forbid, something happened with Dame or he wasn't, you know, at the same level that he was before. But all the workout videos that we've seen, Rashad, that's not true. And please don't think, anybody listening, for a second that I'm saying that that's going to happen. I don't believe Dame is going to come out and be lesser of a player. All right. As you said, 80% of what he was before the injury, Rashad, you would hope for that. That's basically peak, because nobody comes back from an Achilles the same. All right. Even the great Damian Lillard, I'm sorry, Steph Curry, like all these guys that have had major injuries lose just a tiny step. They get their ability back, but the speed's just not the same. It's impossible to have that.
Maybe that's not a bad thing. Luka's never had speed, and he's been an all NBA guy every year of his career for the most part. So yeah, speed is, you know, important, but we'll see. Let's keep this conversation going. We'll talk about this more right here, 105.1 The Fan. Lots of movement in this Western Conference so far in the greatest offseason in basketball that we've ever seen. Like, I'm gonna go ahead and say that the moves that happened this offseason, it was superstars that moved and role players that moved and guys that got big bags and everything. Like, this was one of the, I can't remember more active offseason than this one. And, and honestly, it could be because Portland was the part of one of those, you know, kind of blockbuster, quote-unquote blockbuster trades that happened this summer. And that could be the reason I kind of think that. But outside of the Ja move and losing Jeremy Grant, like, the West is shaken up a little bit. LeBron is gone. So his not 8 years in the Western Conference has officially come to an end. How would you grade LeBron's 8 years?
I mean, he won a title, so I got to go with at least an A-minus, right? Like, do you...
I mean, it's another Hall of Fame career for LeBron.
Yeah, he kind of held the Lakers. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, I think, when Joe was out. I think he held the Lakers a little hostage over the years with the moves that he did and kind of bringing in players, basically turning it into a turnstile for different guys that he thought would fit with him. But,
I mean, here's the cold part, though. He never underachieved. That's the weird part about it. Like, everybody that came in, it just didn't work with them. Some people just can't play under that type of, you know, light scrutiny and stuff like that, whatever you want to call it.
But, like, say your kid is the best player on the basketball team. You're the coach, right? And he just says, for this season, I need these three guys from this high school. Okay, Dad? Get them to transfer here. We're going to do great. They end up winning half their games. Ends up being a crappy season. Two of them are injured. It just didn't work out. Next season, all right, Dad, I need these three guys. Like, that's what's happening every single year. It was in Los Angeles with LeBron James.
I mean,
and it's
guys,
happened in Miami,
guys,
and Cleveland.
To be fair, LeBron, for a long time, and I'm not sure where this changed, for a long time, people wanted to play with LeBron. They were flocking to go play with LeBron. They were taking veterans minimums to go play with LeBron. These are guys that have been in the league for a long time. They're like, man, I would love an opportunity to play alongside this dude.
But
so
at some point,
so
even
yeah,
the daddy coach is going to get mad at his kid and be like, I can't deal with this.
Yeah, but as he got older, still people kept wanting to play with LeBron. Russ could have went somewhere else. No, I'll go play with LeBron. You know, Melo, I think, had maybe another offer outside of Portland. Was like, yeah, I think I'll go play with LeBron. You know, like, that's just kind of one of those things. And then when the guys don't want to go there, they just flat out, like, I don't want to go to L.A. People have been very vocal about not wanting to do it. But I think it's been all NBA seven times of those 8 years.
Yeah.
NBA championship. I mean, all NBA is one thing. Like, All-Star is one thing because that means you're one of the best 24 guys, you know, 30 guys in the league if they're taking 15 a piece. Like, well, let's say that I'm an All-Star. All NBA means I'm one of the best 15 people in the league, and I was that every year that I was here and got a championship. That's a Hall of Fame career.
Yeah, if you're asking about personal accolades, of course, the A++++. What did he do for his brand? He expanded even more. I mean, he made even more money. He became an L.A., you know, freaking staple. Like, not like Kobe, but he won a title for the Lakers, and now he can
I can't blame him.
Of Lakers history.
I can't blame him. I can't blame him for Luka being out of shape.
Well, no.
I can't blame him for that. That's not Bron's fault. I can't blame him for, was it not Kessler? Who was the big that they had recently? I watch a lot of Laker games unless they're playing Portland, but yeah, like,
oh, the big that didn't work out.
Russ wasn't Bron's fault. You know what I mean? Like, there's I think some of those moves that have happened.
Bron handpicked them.
Yes, he's Russell Westbrook. I would want him too.
But when you say, hey, this is my guy, this is kind of what I'm talking about. Like, dude, the head coach with his kid just trying to pick guys after guys, or year after year after year, guys that he thinks will win, and then all of a sudden it doesn't happen. He's going to be like, yo, you actually don't know what you're talking about, son. And nobody sat LeBron down because he's LeBron James and said, yo, you are a great player. You cannot build a roster. I'm sorry. Be here.
Yes, I can.
Be a player. Then have it. You know what?
He's prove it. I mean, unfortunately, that's the cool part, Jordan. He's got to prove that he can build a roster and win with it. He's done it a couple
times. That's what I'm saying is for him, Lakers time, 8 years, great. For the organization, yeah, they won a title, but they expected to win three.
No,
right?
Of course.
Of course. I think that's kind of
AD
where
is not LeBron's fault, though. That's a big reason that they didn't win as much is because he was always hurt.
Like, but
that's what I'm saying. There's a lot of things that happen. I think he becomes the scapegoat because usually the quarterback is, right? He is the guy that, you know, takes all the heat for not doing
if
everything.
If it were Rob Pelinka that said, I think AD's pairing with LeBron is going to take us to the promised land, then yeah, it's on Pelinka. But LeBron was the one saying, yo, I want AD.
He did. Yeah, he did.
It wasn't. Any front office member that came up with this plan, it was like, LeBron, what do you want? Okay, we'll do what you want.
But to be fair, like, all the players that he wanted, most people wanted. All of us wanted AD at that point. Coming out of New Orleans, he was drowning in this terrible, although they beat us in the playoffs, but he was drowning in New Orleans.
Everybody want AD?
Yes. At that, before the injuries and stuff,
he could have been acquired by like two teams, literally the Lakers and one other team that had the assets.
Everybody could have, if you could have acquired Anthony Davis at that point, you're talking pre coming to the Los Angeles Lakers. Absolutely, everybody wanted Anthony Davis. If he's available, people would have given up anything to get AD. Russell Westbrook coming to the Lakers, before he got there, he was averaging triple doubles in Washington. Yes, people still looked at Russ. I think he just kind of. Russell Westbrook represents an NBA that they're trying to move away from, and I think that's why he's kind of been like blackballed a little bit, because you look at his numbers, he still hoops better than half the league. There's no reason he should be out of the league, and so it's just kind of one of those things. But that's a whole different conversation. But yeah, I don't want to blame
KCP to get Westbrook, which bad move. We all know how good that went for him.
You're talking KCP?
Yeah, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Yeah,
he great was, player.
You know, where is he now?
I get it, but exactly. You traded a younger player for an aging vet, because once again, these are the guys that I think can win it all because what, they're my age, because I've played against them
and
longer.
Because they're it's good. Weird. Russ showed that he can do the other stuff outside of just score, and I think that's why people would want him on their team. Not so much anymore, but at that point, yes. But all that said, you know, LeBron aside, you know, so he's gone now. That's
argue about
we
that
say all that to
years.
Say LeBron is no longer a Laker, and he's gone. He's had a great career when he was there. Minnesota, I don't want to say they got better. I don't know. Minnesota is weird to me because I don't think they're going to do great, but defensively they're kind of cooked, you know, right there. Like, you got Ant, you got Jaden Daniels, you got Gobert. After that it gets real, and Dosunmu, they just gave that big contract to him.
Really wanted him this offseason. Yeah.
So they got a lot of guards right now, much like Portland. Only thing is, they don't have a lot of guards coming off the bench and stuff like that. They don't have their. You let go of Nasri, which I think was a bad idea. You know, you let go of your sixth man of the year. I don't know. I think Minnesota takes a step back, because I think the Portland Trailblazers take a major step forward.
Can I go full, like, Blazer honk on you?
Sure.
Underrated acquisition of the offseason. Going to be Micah Potter. Blazers have had a shooting deficit for the last couple of seasons. Just, man, in a three-point league without Dame, they just look like ass. And I agree with Mike Anori. Obviously, Dame coming back is going to make up for a big part of that. But you got to get other bodies in that actually can shoot, like not like Vic Greggy, because apparently he can, but not during games. Micah Potter, I think he came in near 40%, 38% or something from three-point land last year. He's a 6'9 center, so he's another body down in the middle and also kind of just gives you more size, can get out, shoot the three. I think he's going to get some extended minutes this year, and I think that there's going to be, thankfully, some guys hitting three-pointers this season at a higher clip than it has in the last couple of years. I just don't think that the Blazers are going to be as bad behind the arc. And people are like, well, who's this no-name acquisition going to be? I mean, out of the three, what you got, Carlson, you got Potter, and then you got the other guy that they signed to like a two-way, like John Tanger or whatever. Like, I actually think, kind of like Blazers honks were on Drew Eubanks a few years ago, I think Micah Potter can come in and make a huge difference. And he's kind of being not spoken about so much right now for this Blazers team.
Currently, he is fourth in the depth chart from power forwards. But
he can shoot.
He can shoot. I'm glad Micah Potter is here. You know, but I think if everybody can take a step forward, this Blazer team can be close to unstoppable. Like, just as you look at the second unit that has Scoot Henderson, Drew Holiday, Shaden Sharp, Sidy Sissoko, and Robert Williams. Four of those five guys are really, really good, right? Sidy Sissoko is still trying to really figure out who he is in the NBA, but I think eventually it'll come. Like, that's your second unit. So if Tamani can improve his three-point shooting, which we assume he spent time in the gym this offseason kind of doing that, the Blazers can be great. If Denny can improve his three-point shot, that can be another
feather in the cap for you. He was 37% clip this last year. He just needs to do the same, but actually score.
Though, right?
Yeah.
So if Tamani is hitting, then it's going to be a great night. If you see three or four off, then
just
it's going to be a struggle, right? So if Tamani can just get to where he makes three a night, that's cool. You know, you go three for six on the night, every night, Tamani, I'm good with that. You know, but going 3 for 6 one night or 5 for 5, that one night, didn't he make like 8 or 9?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
like
he went off
at some point.
I remember that.
And then the next game, you go 1 for 12. Like, yeah, you're going to need some consistency there. So, yes, Tamani did shoot at a 37% clip. However, very streaky shooter, you know. So if all these guys can take a step forward, I think this Blazers team can be very, very good. You know, considering that you losing Jeremy Grant, I think, is going to be a bigger blow than a lot of people want to believe, because he could guard 2, 3, and 4 a lot of the times, and 5, depending on who the 5 was. He did have that corner 3. I think he led the league in like and one plays from the 3-point shot. I think he led the league in that, you know, statistic. So, yeah, man, I think that's going to be missed at points. But for the most part, man, I like this Blazers roster. I'm saying right now, 4th seed.
Whoa.
4th seed.
Man.
The Lakers aren't going to be the same. I think Minnesota isn't going to be the same. And they finished, what, 6th last year or 5th? Or, you know, the 6th. Houston will probably be the same. I think I can see them being a little bit better. But, yeah, I'm saying the Blazers sneak up into 4-5.
I mean, I saw maybe like 6 being the best case scenario.
They're not going to be close to the play-in this year. It's going to be 4 or 5.
Right.
This is the year that they take that next step forward. After that, I'm saying somewhere close to the conference finals.